Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with John Roche, who's the president and founder of the franchise opportunity, Duck. And John started the company as a one-van operation in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in 2002. And today, the franchise boasts 134 locations in 32 states. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around. We've got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. How are you today?
Good, good. I know it's been a busy week for you, you know, and yeah. I know you have a busy weekend coming up, don't you? We have a busy weekend coming up.
Yeah, we got the franchise show down in Washington, D.C. this weekend, so very excited about that.
Yeah, it just kind of snuck up on us, didn't it? It seems like, I mean, last year we were just talking about it, you know, and here we are again, you know,
right.
going to another one. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, having it a little early this year. Normally it's in April.
That's true. And, you know, and actually I think April's a nicer time to go down there because
right.
I guess the cherry blossoms are just blossoming, you know, so...
Right. Just a chance to be warmer weather.
Yeah, I know. And it's not so nice here in Pennsylvania today. It's a little cold and damp and still feels a little winter-like, you know. So
Right.
You know, so, yeah, but that's good. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think I mentioned to you, I'm taking my dad down. He's never been to one of these things. And, you know, I've been doing this since, God, 1999. So,
right.
You know, this is the first year that he's coming down with me. So he's looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, and for people listening, it's the International Franchise Expo at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. People want to know what the times are and directions and all that, can go to ifeinfo.com.
That's right. And, again, it's called the Super Bowl of Franchising. And, again, bring your appetites because there's going to be hopefully lots of food there, coffee, yogurt, you know, pizza. I mean,
there should be some stuff. I've noticed last year's show, not quite as many franchises really doing the big display and handing out the food and so forth. Maybe
there was an article on that. Yeah, remember? I think we even might have referenced it on our show, you know, that you know, a lot of them are cutting back, you know.
Right.
So it is kind of interesting. But I will tell you that the guys that do give out samples, though, I suspect they're going to do well. I mean, those are always very crowded, you know. So you say it could be an opportunity for somebody, you know, who's ever doing it, you know. It's
right.
Absolutely. So it is very interesting. Well, we had an interesting show last week, Don. We met with David and Stuart Pikoff, the founders of Games to You. And they launched the mobile video game theater franchise in Austin, Texas in 2007. And they've already achieved significant growth. It was funny because when I was introducing them last week, I announced that they had 25 franchises because I spoke to David, I guess, a couple weeks before. And in that period of time, they closed four more franchises or five more franchises. So I know they're in the 30-plus number now already. So this franchise is growing quite rapidly. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I didn't know much about them as we were going to have them on the show. And, I mean, I like the direction the company's going in. I mean, I know just own personal experience that when you're going to plan like a birthday party or something along those lines, because, you know, I guess David said that they're in the children's entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they, you know, really had everything well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to do well. I'm confident that they're going to have a lot of success. I mean, they, you know, really took their time and were careful about what industry they wanted to go into.
Mm-hmm.
Put together a nice product. It's an interesting franchise. I think it's in lower overhead. And what, Marty? I think they said it's from ages about 6 or 7
to,
up till
seven to 14, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Was the target audience, which is incredible if you think about it, you know. And I suspect that there's a lot of repeat sales, you know. There's a lot of references when you see that van pull up, you know, and you give them, you know, they said a lot of interesting terms. They give this like rock star experience for a child's birthday party, you know. And
right.
So it really is an experience. They said that they're bringing the cool factor back into the birthday business, you know. And you're right, you use that word niche. They're definitely doing something different, you know. I don't think anyone is really doing something like this. It's great having that home-based business opportunity as well, right? I mean, you know, you're big on the whole low overhead thing, and you know, so it doesn't seem like your expenses are that high either.
Right, and it's a fun business, I guess. You have a business where people are having fun and smiling, and you know, it's nice to have that positiveness in your franchise. And I loved his answer when I'm pretty sure it was the question we always ask about what are the the main characteristics you look for in a potential franchisee. And he said he wanted to hear that person smile over the phone.
Yeah, I wrote that down. Yeah, I said, you know what, that's probably going to go in our great quotes in franchising, which says, you know, that, you know, this definitely isn't a franchise for everybody. You know, you have to have those type of interpersonal skills, you know, and not
right.
Everyone has them, you know, but if you do, this can definitely be a franchise for you. I mean, again, you know, children are getting older every year. You know, there's a new group that you can sell to every single year. So I love this whole franchise model. I think they're definitely onto something, and I suspect that you're going to probably pretty much see them in every major city definitely in the next year. I mean, it seems like they're going to hit that 100 mark by the end of the year, you know. So
maybe little Martin have a birthday in a few years, and you'll hire them, and we'll go to it.
Yeah, we're not in that mode yet. I know you're in that mode right now, you know, with the twins, you know, so you're in that whole, you know, planning process. But, you know, birthday parties have definitely changed. I think you and I spoke about that last year. It seems like a lot of pressure, you know, to
right.
provide this, as David said, I think he said, the rock star experience, you know what I mean, where
kids, you know, they hug the franchisee at the end saying, please don't go. This was incredible, you know. So really sounds like a wonderful experience for the kids. So, yeah, I think we should keep our eye on them, and I would definitely love to have them back, you know, towards the end of the year or early next year and see what number they're at.
Right, yeah, definitely, Marty.
That's great. So I know you had an interesting topic for today. I actually bought it in an article today myself, so.
Yeah, this one is from our friends at Franchise Times Magazine,
mm-hmm.
their latest issue. It's written by Daryl Johnson from FranData.
You know Daryl.
Quoted him, knows his company, of, you know, seeing him at the shows. I'm sure he'll be there this weekend at the IFE show in D.C. It's What Recession? Economy Doesn't Slow the Fast 55. Every year the Franchise Times comes out with their Fast 55 franchises.
Right.
It says the biggest economic downturn in decades started showing itself in the latter part of 07. You might expect that many franchise companies started slowing down during that period, yet the strength and adaptability of the franchise business model once again came shining through. The strength was demonstrated with the top 10 franchise companies averaging more than 1,300% growth over a four-year period, about the same as the previous year. No doubt,
wow.
In anticipation of the turmoil in the financial market and its impact on all of us, the health, tax, and fitness sectors held the top positions this time around. It is clear from this year's list that the franchising business model can be successfully applied to a multitude of industries and sectors adjusting to the changing demand for products and services. Leading the list was Ohio-based HealthSource Chiropractic. The company's average unit growth over the past 5 years exceeded 2,000% as it has attracted chiropractic physicians to open units. HealthSource is one of seven health and fitness franchises on this year's list, including two of the top three. One is Florida-based Super Slow Zone, number three. I never heard of that franchise.
No, I haven't either.
This may demonstrate a desire by consumers to relieve economy-induced stress, but it's also reflecting a mounting demand for health care by an aging public as well as continued demand for fitness by consumers worried about their weight. So it's pretty interesting, health and fitness and, you know, senior care. Stuff we've talked about a lot recently.
Been watching those industries, you know, and, you know, I forgot, Don, there was something that I forgot to mention about last week's show, that whole children's industry. I guess that's also probably in that, top industries, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
I think David might have even mentioned that, you know. So, yeah, there are certain industries that are, really just exploding right now with opportunity. Senior care has been one for a long time now. So
a lot of the Fast 55 child-related franchises are seven out of the 55.
You're
right about that.
Okay, good.
Goes on, it's notable that there are also two sports-related franchises on the list, and many service providers are health-related, like number 21, Brightstar Healthcare, which provides medical personnel services. Consequently, the list also demonstrates the weakness of the restaurant sector, or at least the sheer difficulty that franchises have in breaking into the food market. The 10 food franchises on this year's list is the lowest in the six-year history of the Fast 55.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's something.
It says there were 15 on the list last year, meaning 15 food franchises, including two in the top 10. No food franchise made the top 10 this year, and only two are in the top 25. Says many analysts consider the restaurant sector to be overbuilt, especially casual dining establishments, and say that thousands of units must close in the coming years for supply to equal demand. Interesting, too. Yeah. In addition, seven of the food franchises on the list, including number 12, Mr. Pickle's Sandwich Shop, and number 18, Garlic Jim's Famous Gourmet Pizza, who, of course, we had on the show.
We had on the show, yeah. That was great. You know, we had them when they were kind of young, you know.
Right.
In their day, so that's great.
They're fast-growing. So those two franchises are considered quick service. Quick service and fast casual restaurants are benefiting from an economic environment in which consumers are increasingly frugal in their food choices. We talked about that in previous shows. Companies like McDonald's are doing increased sales because people are just eating a little more cheaply. Most concepts on this year reflect a recent trend towards consumer and residential services. That observation is more understood by looking at the 13 repeat winners from the 2008 list. All but one of them came through non-food sectors. This partially reflects the generally low investment levels that many Non-food brands offer, and lower investment franchises may be getting a boost in today's tight credit environment, yet it also reflects the adaptability of the business model to sectors with a minimal previous franchising presence.
The most
frequent industry for the 55 initiatives list with 10 concepts is general services. And that
general
makes sense because I guess people are in this tougher economy are maybe more prone to maybe invest in the lower investment franchises, and a lot of those are home-based and service franchises.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it does. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, again, you and I think are both agree. You know, we're both always big fans of the home-based franchise opportunities, you know, because, again, the low overhead and things like that. But, you know, and during these times, too, we've seen and we've referenced several articles in the past how people are, as you know, not moving, you know, and they're taking
right.
care of their homes, you know what I mean? So they're putting more money into their homes today, probably than ever, you know?
Right.
So it is interesting, that whole staycation thing. Instead of going on vacation and, you know, people are investing more in their homes. And so it's just an interesting concept.
Yeah. And it says here, Marty, the brands in this category, meaning service franchises, are a wide range of industries where franchising is less common. They include wireless services, Solaris franchise at number 9, Yakety Yak Wireless at number 49, dry cleaning, which is called CD One Price Cleaners, door-to-door dry cleaning, even DNA testing, DNA Services of America came in at number 10.
Really? Wow.
It also includes two companies in the franchise heavy shipping industry, Going Postal and E-Shipping.
That's an interesting name for a franchise, isn't it?
Yeah.
As Going Postal, you know, and that's one of the things I love about, you know, when you go to the shows, Don, you know, is I think you and I experience this every year, is you see some new concept, you know, and you say, wow, that's really interesting, you know, it's
right.
But it is funny, I mean, as long as you and I have been doing this, yeah, I mean, we still don't know every single franchise. There's always new ones popping up, you know, and
you know the reason for that, because it says here, Marty, many of these concepts are targeting subsectors. Rather than the broader category. This
gotcha.
Year's list includes 17 different industries and 40 different sectors, plus many other subsectors.
Right.
Like
that
it goes on
sense.
Here, just
yeah.
finishing up. Number 7, Guard a Kid, specializes in security for children by providing identification cards.
Yeah.
Number 34, Young Chefs, is a specialty education franchise that teaches kids how to cook.
Wow.
Got a franchise for everything.
My God.
Even the food franchise on the list show their specialization. The list includes a salad franchise called Tossed.
Wow, that's something.
And one selling soup, the original Soup Man, which I'm familiar with, done some work with them.
Oh, that's something. Yeah, their soup is out of this world. I remember trying them a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
For the first time, and it's one of those wow experiences. You say, God, this is incredible. You know. So yeah, and that was. You're right. They probably were one of the first soup.
Right.
Places, if you think about it. So, yeah, there are a lot of subsectors today, you know, instead of just food. They're going a lot deeper than that, you know, and
right.
having more of a niche, you know. We've used that word a lot over the last several weeks. So
out of the 55, it looks like more than half cover just, you know, general services franchises, health and fitness, fast food, child-related, and real estate and business-related franchises make up more than half of that list.
Wow.
So, you know, pretty interesting seeing what, you know, where the growth is and what are some of the different sectors of the industries and franchising. So
that's great. No, you know, it's funny you mentioned the original Soup Man. I said, who's ever their PR rep? They're doing a fantastic job. I'm looking at an article here. It's called Fast Causals, Light It Up. It says, strengthening your brand image with customers can be as simple as flipping on a switch. Just ask Salad Works, where executives at they're in Pennsylvania headquarters, discovered that under its monochromatic mood lighting, customers thought that the lettuce and produce featured in their salads was bagged. In fact, it's chopped fresh daily. So the 104-unit franchise hit the drawing board to produce a new prototype that focuses greatly on lighting, adding two overhead skylights with bulbs in to accomplish that bright, fresh feel. And I'm looking at a picture of it, Don. It's really quite incredible looking at the light bulb. It says, additionally, the fronts of all future Salad Work locations will be all glass to bring in more natural light. You know, so that's important to certain types of franchises is to have that light come in. You know, you can actually see the product better and get a better feel, you know, saying that, wow, this is really fresh. You know, the salad is not bagged.
Right.
So that's important, the salad works, you know. So it goes a little deeper. It says, based on client input and observations, fast casual restaurants in general tend to have a little more mood lighting, especially in the evenings, said Rick Fowle, who's the president of Ecotech Lighting in Lake Forest, California. Like Salad Works, officials at the original Soup Man in New York City believe that the trend may be turning. He says, we find that brightness lends itself to positive merchandising. Particularly these days, you need to go that extra mile, which is to provide the guests with an upbeat feeling, said Tom Romano, vice president of the business development for the fast casual concept. They come not only to enjoy a good meal, but look for something that will make them feel good about the entire experience. So again, just doing something so simple as changing the lighting or enhancing the lighting,
right.
Hopefully, you know, give the customer a different experience. And, you know, again, this is something that, you know, one of the benefits, again, of buying a franchise, you know, is, you know, there's somebody out there actually doing this type of research. So if you were to open up your own salad franchise or your own, not franchise, business, you know, or your own soup business, let's say Don's Soup, I mean, it's something that you're probably not going to get into. You're not going to do an investigation on the lighting and things like that, you know. So it's the power of franchising, you know, the power of that royalty fee, Don, you know, that we spoke about how important that royalty fee is to pay it, because you can do research like this. So it goes a little deeper. It says the original Soup Man typically locates in strip centers, which offer rectangular shapes 80 feet deep. It says on a technical level, the trick is to make sure that the lighting is balanced and gaps. This expanse plays tricks on the customer's eyes. The restaurant also downs the lights, the soup kettles at the counter, so hungry consumers can see the shiny stainless steel and steam rising from the pots. Now, that's interesting. It also pays close attention to the down lighting its salad case for the optimum color. Romano prefers to stay away from pure fluorescent bulbs in favor of the lighting softness and also flattening hues. But in terms of volume, he hasn't found an atmosphere he considers too bright for fast casual setting. He says, people are out to treat themselves. I don't guess they'll say, gee, this restaurant has overdone its terms of electricity and they're burning up the world. It's kind of interesting if you think about it. You know, I mean, here they are, you know, doing all this different research. And, you know, have you ever gone into like a fast casual place, Don? It's been kind of dark and
right.
gloomy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's what they're kind of doing here, you know. So it is pretty interesting.
It's a simple thing, but important.
Something so simple, but again, by just doing this research, you know, and saying, look, you know, we investigated, you know, so many people, you know, we surveyed 1,000 or 10,000 people, and, you know, this is what the survey has shown us, you know. So again, one of the great advantages of buying a franchise, you're not going to get that when you do that on your own. Just one more thing it says here, it says, because I thought this was interesting, it says, keeping it affordable. It says, on the other hand, restaurant owners do not need to fret such things such as electric bill. According to Farrell, quick serve and fast casual units are considered energy hogs, in large part because of their hours can average 18 to 20 a day. Wow. Even without warnings from pundits that federal regulations under consideration could raise energy costs by 62%. It's a category to watch. That's why Broach Management, which owns 19 Burger Kings in Arizona, they recently chose to install LED lighting. It says manufacturers claim LEDs save 80% of electricity compared to the incandescent and 50% compared to the compact fluorescent lighting. Not only does it show off the proper hues, but it also helps reduce overall air temperature to save air conditioning costs. So there's a lot behind this whole lighting thing, you know, just so you know. It's,
I mean, very interesting. That's, I mean, you don't think of that much.
No, absolutely not, you know. So, again, we'll have to keep our eyes on this. And, again, it's, you know, we're watching a lot of changes taking place right now in the United States. I mean, I was watching something last night how, you know, everybody is, as you know, going green. You know, I know Walmart's doing a lot of things to go green. They're putting in like a lot of solar panels and things like that. I won't be surprised to see a lot of these franchises getting into this, you know, the whole green concept as well, you know. So it is going to be interesting what the next 5 years is going to bring.
Right.
It's kind of interesting. I forgot to mention during the show, we have some interesting shows coming up as well, Don. We have Christmas decor. We have nighttime decor coming up. We have Weed Man coming up. That's just in time for spring, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Lawn care franchise, yeah.
There you go. We have Big Mouth Advertising coming up, and we have Rita's, you know, so there's a lot of exciting shows coming up as well, you know, for our listeners, just so they know. And, you know, usually in the beginning of the show, we make that announcement. So kind of forgot about that today. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show this morning. We're meeting with John Roche, who's the president and founder of the franchise opportunity, Ducks. And John started the company as a one-van operation in Ann Arbor, Michigan, back in 2002, and today the franchise boasts 134 locations in 32 states. And John's going to talk about his strategic growth by buying his major competitor, Duckbusters, in 2006, and positioning the company to become a subsidiary of Belfour. Hey, John, how you doing today? Good morning.
I'm great. Good morning. How are you?
Good, John. John, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and Don is the president of Diamond Financial Services, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to John.
John, appreciate you coming on. Good morning. How are you?
Good. My pleasure.
Good.
John, I thought we could start off by, I was looking at your resume, your background yesterday. It was quite impressive. Did you want to talk about your background in franchising?
Sure. I've been in franchising for about 25 years, predominantly in the food service industry. In Ann Arbor, Michigan is where I reside, and of course that's the world headquarters to Domino's Pizza, and I spent about 10 years at Domino's, served in a variety of roles there. My final position there was I was working directly for the founder, Mr. Tom Monahan. When Tom sold the company to Bain Capital, I took a position with Krispy Kreme Donuts to help expand Krispy Kremes around the country. And I stayed with them for many years through the IPO. And then while I was there, I had purchased the One Van Air Duct Cleaning Company more as a side investment with a family member. And then as the company started to grow, I ended up, that's when I resigned from Krispy Kreme to really put my full-time effort into growing the business, which is now known as Ducks.
I guess you've seen a lot of changes in franchising over the last 25 years, John. I mean, it must be interesting for you. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, like anything big that you've noticed over the last 25 years?
You know, I think, there's probably two main things that I've really seen is the service industry segment has really increased dramatically.
Sure.
Obviously, franchising, When people would think of franchising, they would be thinking of the Subways and the McDonald's of the world. But really, as in particular the last 15 years, is you've really seen the service segment really rise up to the top.
Right.
And now you're starting to see a lot of co-branded service concepts, where again, that was historically co-branding was done more in the food service realm.
Did you learn that, John, from being at Krispy Kreme? I mean, imagine being met with them so long is just a lot of valuable experience. You're applying some of that to Ducks, and I'm sure that helps.
Yeah, you know, it's actually when you look at Krispy Kreme at the time, Krispy Kreme was probably one of the sexiest brands in America, and Krispy Kreme really demonstrated, really especially during the glory years, they knew how to brand themselves. They knew how to really turn something which may seem like a typical ordinary donut, and they created a tremendous amount of magic that accompanied that. And they had one of the things I was able to really take away. I think I took away two things. From Domino's, I took away really operational experience. Tom Monahan, his sole focus was always, handle the rush. How do you deliver pizzas in less than 30 minutes? And everything was very operationally based. Keep things very simple. Krispy Kreme, on the other hand, was really a lot about hype in the community and a lot of PR. And so I think the combination is really what I've taken away from both of those concepts.
Interesting. Good.
Yeah, it is. Do you want to go deeper, John, into that, like how you got into this particular business?
Sure. When I started the company again, I was a Krispy Kreme. You hear it very often now in franchising, a semi-absentee owner and so forth. We actually at Ducks, I don't like the term semi-absentee. I don't believe anyone wants to be semi-absent anything. So we look at it more as an investor. You can have an investor model. You can keep your day job and, let's say, buy a Ducks. Well, I did the same thing. When I was at Krispy Kreme, I had bought the business, again, predominantly as just a small investment. When I bought it, I didn't know a whole lot about the industry. When I decided I was going to kind of get out of food service and then really take a look at the business that started having a lot of growth with it, I started seeing how fragmented the industry was. In air duct cleaning, it's a very fragmented industry. There's a lot of consumer confusion out there based on coupons that people receive in their Sunday paper. As I started really digging into the business and then really understood the business, in particular having a son who has chronic asthma and respiratory illnesses, I started seeing that this is one of the I started seeing this not as a wants-based business, but very much a needs-based. And so I think emotionally it grabbed me to learn more about the business. And I really just saw a pretty big opportunity within this industry to make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting. So, I mean, there really was a, you know, reason behind it. You saw a industry that, you know, seemed like was underdeveloped, plus the situation with your son. So, I mean, there's a lot of motivation there, John.
Yep.
What do you attribute the success of your growth in such a short amount of time? So, like, Dux has had some nice growth. Maybe talk about that a little bit. In just a few years, it looks like the tour is really getting around the country.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I really attribute it to really being nimble. I mean, I a term I like to use is it's to really outthink your competitors. And what happened with us, we've, if you look at the history of Dux, there's been a lot of really strategic positioning. And a lot of it just came out of necessity. When I'll give you a real brief story that kind of goes back to my son, but again, as I had said, I come from a strong operations background,
right,
as well as a branding background. Well, I combined the two, and I got into the duck cleaning business. And so Dux, we had about six or seven franchises. I could have told you anything you wanted to know about what our break-even was, you know, what type of equipment we should use, how many jobs a day can you do, what type of margin should you operate, how best to market to the consumer, all of this. And it wasn't until I was at a board of directors meeting in early February, and my birthday was a couple days prior. My wife had asked me, what did I want for my birthday? And we're both pretty big scuba divers. And so I said, here's what I want. I said, I just want to be able to drive down from Fort Lauderdale down to the Florida Keys for a couple days, guilt-free, and just go diving. And she said, no problem. Well, no sooner did I get into Key Largo and she calls, and my six-month-old son ended up, she would rush him to the hospital because he turned blue in her arm. So I turn around, I run back, drive back to Miami, I catch a flight, go back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, meet her at the hospital about 3 in the morning, send her home to go be with my daughter, relieve the babysitter. So now I found myself sitting at the crib side to my son. When you see your son or a child under with tubes down their throat and so forth, and really struggling to breathe, it's a scary moment for obviously a father or anyone.
Right.
And I wasn't sitting there as John Rachi, the founder of Dux. I was sitting there as Quinn's father. Then at 8 o'clock the next morning, a respiratory therapist comes up and they diagnose my son with his condition. And she gave me, she said, you know, some of the best things you could do for your son. She said, the first thing you're probably going to want to do is take a stuffed animal, put him in the freezer during the day to kill dust mites. And so at night, take him out and he could sleep with his animals. And she said, but the second thing, she said, I don't know if you've ever considered getting your ducks clean. And the sad part was I never did. And that was an awakening point for me. And eventually you have to ask yourself the question, you know, what are you really in business for? And I've learned a long time ago in life, some of the two greatest moments in a person's life is the day they are born and the day they understand why. Well, for me, that really resonated that I need to learn this business. I could
right.
have told you anything about a Domino's pizza or a Krispy Kreme donut, but I'm not. My giftings don't come from being very mechanically inclined. So I made a decision at that time to reach out and find who is the most knowledgeable group, company, person within this industry. And as you had mentioned early on, is when we acquired Duckbusters. Well, Tommy Iacobellis, who was the founder of Duckbusters, they were a 20-plus year company. Tom Iacobellis has written virtually every standard in the industry. I knew he was the guy in this industry, so I approached Tom and I said, Tom, I don't come from a mechanical background. I come from an operations and a branding background. And I said, our company will probably outgrow you this year. They had about 25 franchises. They were in business 20 years. And I said, so we probably will outgrow you in this year alone. And I didn't say that as a threat. I just said it just because I knew where my comfort level lied. But I did not want to do it without having the horsepower and the knowledge of someone like Tom or his organization. It was literally less than a 10-minute conversation. We shook hands and we said, let's figure out how to do it. And what was interesting is we were competitors as well, because after Hurricane Katrina, his company, Duckbusters, did a tremendous amount of work in the restoration cleanup after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Well, and so did Ducks, and we were the new kids on the block, and so we were competing head-to-head with them. So when we came together, that really kind of sent a little bit of a wave throughout the industry to say, well, Ducks and Duckbusters just came together. Well, the company who was hiring us, both of us at the time, throughout Hurricane Katrina was a company called Belfour. And Belfour is a Michigan-based company. They're in 27 countries. They're the world's largest property restoration company. And they were, again, they had hired Duckbusters to do work. They had hired Ducks to do work. When they had found out that we acquired Duckbusters and we became the nation's largest, they then approached us to figure out how we could work together. And it was probably a year before we really decided to pull the trigger for me to sell the company to Belfour. But the impetus, I think some of the reservations I had was, well, Belfour's not a franchise company. What do they know about franchising? They're the biggest and best in property restoration. If they don't know franchising, how's that going to really fare to our franchisees? Well, as we really started talking, it became really obvious that it was an absolute perfect fit for our franchisees because of the amount of pushdown work that Belfour would be able to generate for our franchisees. So we ultimately decided to sell the company to Belfour. So it's been about a year and a half, and it's exceeded every expectation I had had. And I think it alleviated a lot of the concern that some of the early franchisees had. And now they found that it really was a very good strategic move. So you know, I think some of the things we would really attribute our growth to was our willingness to take risks, our willingness to be, I think, nimble. And, you know, I think if you really just, if your sole focus is really what's best for your franchisees, sometimes it means making hard decisions, selling your company. Even like Duckbusters, they had to make some hard decisions. They were a 20-year company that they left their name and left their logo to be part of Ducks.
Right.
But at the end of the day, now we're, as of yesterday, we're at about 145 franchises, one of the fastest growing in the country. And I think we've really taken hold of this industry that we're in, that we really are the global players, and which is ultimately just creating great opportunities for all of our offices across the country.
Hey, real interesting story, John. I guess my next question would be, what was the thought process used in making these strategic moves? I guess you kind of answered it. Really, you just got to realize you have to take some risks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why, you know, dinosaurs are dead. You know, you have to evolve, and part of it is, the term any strength out of balance is a weakness. I also sometimes have to be careful of my, just the way I'm wired is I could be pretty entrepreneurial. And so I've always have to surround myself with, if I'm more the gas pedal, I got to surround myself with a few more brakes to, keep each other in check. But, you know, at the end of the day, you do have to keep evolving, and you do have to kind of, without sounding too cliche, but think out of the box.
Yeah.
If you're going to look to really grow your business, more so than your competition, you have to do things obviously different than maybe your competition. That's really where we like to outthink or pre-think what our competition's doing.
Right.
That's really, I think, really been the impetus behind a lot of our growth.
Yeah, it's one of the things that impressed me about you guys too, John, was, I guess, you know, telling your story, I can see that, you know, your values for, you know, your family. And I've read that in an interview with you, I think it was about a year ago, that, I mean, that's important for your franchisees as well, you know, is that they buy into this franchise, but they also have time to also spend with their families, you know. So it sounds like you've really stayed true to your values, and I suspected that that's one of the things that Belfort was probably impressed with you as well. You know, it seemed like a good marriage, the two coming together.
Well, excuse me, one thing I found with Belfort, and here's a company that I was a little intimidated by. I mean, there's a company that $1 billion powerhouse. But what I've learned about Belfort is they are very, very much a family-based business. They're privately held.
Right.
So it is about culture, and I do think our culture fits within their culture. We've learned a lot. I personally learned a lot. I think sales are an attitude, profits are a discipline. And Belfort is a very, very disciplined company. And I could be very much a yay team kind of guy. I come from an athletic background, and it's just something that comes pretty comfortable with for me. But what Belfort has been able to instill in me is even more discipline in my leadership style. And it's been again, just my own personal executive development. It's been really helpful for myself. As well as the Ducks team here at our home office, and of course our franchisees.
Great,
John. Would you say that Ducks and the service that you provide is recession resistant?
It is, if you market it the right way. And I say that, take these current economic times. If people were to think of cleaning their ducts just because they're tired of dusting, well, then no, it's not going to be too recession resistant. We really focus on the health factors of what we do. You know, there's the energy efficiency side where Energy Star service providers. So yeah, what we do impacts energy efficiency, but really one of our big focuses is we have a program called Camps for Kids. Camps for Kids is it's our own internal program where we raise money to help send kids to asthma camps all across America. There's millions and millions of kids across the country who suffer from severe respiratory illnesses, asthma, and a lot of the reasons you can treat it through medication or you can treat it through minimizing the triggers. If you were to go look into a home, what are some of the triggers in a typical household? Well, it's carpet fibers, it's cat dander, it's could be household dust, it's dust mites, it's insects, it's all of the things that reside inside mechanical systems, ductwork. Well, again, we don't market because people want to have the cleanest ductwork in their community. What we really do is we really focus on helping people with chronic respiratory and asthma issues. And so by doing so, through our Camps for Kids campaign, by raising money to send kids to these asthma camps, again, asthma camps are really, they're in every market across America, and these are just regular overnight camps that I think people take for granted that they're able to send their kids to. They're able to swim. They're able to have campfires and make s'mores and run in the sun. But kids who suffer from these respiratory illnesses typically can't go to these camps because these camps don't have the funding for medical staff and so forth. So what Ducks is a global leader in what we do, this is a big focus for us. And I think what it also does in these economic times is for a franchisee, of course you want to look at your checking account and your balance sheet, and that is some indication of success, one might say, but there's also another part of success, and it's also fulfillment in what you do. And one of the things we really try to instill within all of our franchisees, and so they understand the impact they can make within their community, by partnering with the American Lung Association, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation, we have a new program that we're going national with, Habitat for Humanity. What's happening with Habitat for Humanity right now is in the past they used to do a lot of stick-built homes. Well, now what's happening because of all the foreclosures, Habitat for Humanity is taking over these foreclosed homes. And as you've heard, a lot of people aren't leaving these homes in the greatest of conditions. So And now the people who need this most are typically people who may not have the financial wherewithal to be able to go get a regular typical house off the market. They're working with Habitat for Humanity. These are also the people who may not have the wherewithal to be able to go in and have their mechanical system free of debris and contamination. So as we're doing this here in our home office market, and this is something we're taking national, to work with Habitat to be able to give back to the communities. So when you talk about a recession resistant, when you focus on the health and the needs base, then yes, it's absolutely recession resistant. And the second part is we do a tremendous, tremendous amount of work in the restoration business. 9 out of 10 fires, if there's smoke and it wasn't a total loss, that entire facility was burned to the ground. Just the smoke and soot damage that's inside the ductwork needs to be cleaned. If there's mold or water damage, very often the ductwork needs to be cleaned. So again, it's how you market it. We don't market to the Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Smiths of the world just as a regular have your air ducts cleaned by ducts. Again, we market. It's definitely a little bit more select and geared towards our target audience.
That makes a lot of sense. And how do you describe, John, because you mentioned that, you know, of course there are other companies out there that kind of sort of do what you guys do. What's the biggest differentiator with your company versus your competition?
Ours is, it's probably one of the things that's probably the most fun about our company is we have what's called our national team or national service team. And I wish I could say that this was out of design. It really wasn't. It was out of necessity. When I started the company, I was marketing to contractors. And so it was really more of a business-to-business concept. So if I were marketing to Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Smith every day, there's a good likelihood that's where my work would come from. But when I'm marketing to Smith Mechanical or Jones Restoration, the work that I may get may be a residential home or it may be a 15-story building in their community. Well, how does a single Ducks owner who has one truck and one technician handle a 15-story building or an entire school district? Well, a couple of things we knew very early on was we don't want them to subcontract, we don't want them to bring in our competitors, and we don't want them to bring in temporary labor. So what we said is, hey, if you get a job too big, and our very first one was in during Katrina, call the home office and we're going to pull offices together. Well, what that's done for us is that created our national service team. Our national service team is really the sum of all of our offices. So at 145 offices, coast to coast, these offices make up our national team. So what happens now, we get these projects across the country. It could happen for a franchisee within their local market. They're going to get a project. There's always a project that's too big for someone. There's always that one that's going to need to be done a day quicker than they can do it, or it's going to need more equipment or more people than they have. National team comes rolling into town. We do some of the biggest projects in the world. We've done global projects. We've done cruise ships while at sea traveling to Bremerhaven, Germany. When the Monte Carlo fire hit last year, we had over 80 offices show up. We had 150 people there. We cleaned 1,600 rooms in 4 days. When the California wildfires hit, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Gustav, the flooding in the Midwest, Ducks always gets the call because we're the only group that collectively can come together and do the work. By doing that, we've built up the best resume this industry has ever seen. So what does a franchisee get as a competitive advantage within their marketplace? Sure, our guys wear shoe covers. Sure, our guys have clean trucks. Well, so does their competition. At least their competition should. But what their competition does not have and cannot do, or at least has not demonstrated yet, that they can mobilize 200 to 300 people globally and do some of the most sophisticated projects, hospitals, doing work for NASA. By taking this, that builds our resume, and by being part of this group, wearing our jersey, you share this, the success of this resume, that is the single biggest differentiator, And I think what it also does is people come to Ducks University or they come to train. Yeah, we have a 28,000 square foot world-class training facility. But in reality, if they're only here for 2 weeks, how much can you really train somebody? And then you're going to have natural turnover anyhow. So many service franchisees or franchisors, there's really a revolving door amongst our certified people. Our national team, not only is it a resume builder, but it's a continued education opportunity for these folks for the life of their franchise agreement. They get to go work on projects they would have never worked on in their community, and it provides cash flow during slow times for them. And I think probably the most important thing they get out of this is camaraderie, and they really understand the Duck spirit. When they go to convention, which in a couple of weeks, it's not so much a meet and greet that they're meeting franchisees for their fellow franchisees for the first time. Very often it's a reunion because they saw each other out at the California wildfires. They saw each other out on this big loss. So I would say our biggest differentiator is our experience and our resume.
That's interesting. And who are your franchisees, John? I mean, do they have like diverse backgrounds from your experience?
Yeah, you know, it's across the board. And in particular now with these current economic times, with unemployment being what it is, we are seeing guys very hands-on, guys who have come from the trades, that what they want to do is we have our operator model, they want to get in the truck, they want to go out there, and they want to do the work themselves. They're in their comfort zone, they really enjoy it. But then we have some other folks who they may be about as mechanically inclined as I am. And that's not where their giftings lie. And so they treat this more as an investor model. And they bring their leadership and their skill set to the organization, and they go out and hire people, technicians and general managers to run this business for them. So it's we have CPAs, we have ex-painters, we have bankers, we have HVAC guys. It's really across the board.
Pretty diverse.
Also have some people who own other businesses and kind of diversified into Ducks. Is that something your franchise is willing to do, to work with existing business owners to diversify?
Absolutely. In fact, we encourage it. We've launched a new concept called Hoods. Hoods cleans kitchen exhaust systems for restaurants and schools. And we anticipate by the end of 2009, we're going to be the world's largest kitchen hood cleaner. And we're taking this opportunity and bolting it onto our existing 143 franchises. So we encourage diversification. If the concepts make sense, a concept that wouldn't make sense, obviously, is someone who owns a lawn care business and then they want to go buy a hair salon. Well, I think it's important for us as a franchisor to be able to strategically look for concepts that do match. Obviously, cleaning ductwork and then cleaning kitchen ductwork is pretty similar. One is daytime business, one is nighttime business. Leverage their same administrative staff, equipment. It's a very, very good bolt-on strategic move again. So not only do we allow it, we support it, and we encourage it, again, if it makes sense, if they'll work well together.
Interesting.
John, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Ducks, becoming a Ducks franchisee?
Really, they could just go to www.ducktszandzebra.com.
Okay, perfect. And we also have that up on our show page as well. And I want to thank you again, John. You've been a fantastic guest, and I'd love to have you back to talk about Ducks and even this the Hoods concept as well, you know. So.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, and I'd love to come back.
Thanks so much, John. You have a great weekend.
Thank you, John.
You too.
Good job.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Great concept, huh, John?
Yeah. I was interested in hearing his answer about recession-resistant. I mean, it's one of these things that people have some problems with, respiratory. You have to have it done. So
right. No,
it's
absolutely.
A good position.
It was a great story how he came up with the whole concept, too, isn't it? I mean, you
right.
can tell. I mean, it's just really staying true to his values, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very impressed with his responses, you know.
Yeah, the hour goes quickly, doesn't it?
It sure does, you know. So I guess next time I'm going to be talking to you, Don, is going to be in Washington, D.C., right, at the Super Bowl of Franchising.
Yeah, a couple of days, and I'll be there tomorrow. So great show. Marty, look forward to seeing you this weekend and, you know, going about the show. We'll talk about that on next week's show.
All right, Don. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.